Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so we are going to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And today we're going to talk about real Christianity. Amen? Real Christianity. Christianity is a word that I feel like is thrown around, and it's thrown around like a side thought. It's thrown around like it's, you know, when you start using something so much in such a little way that it just doesn't hold much value. Like kids have, cliche, yeah, but like kids have started to use words that when you used to say them, they had like a strong impact, and now they say them so much that they use it like it's an everyday vernacular. And it's not, it shouldn't be. But it's become that way based on repetition. And so Christianity, unfortunately, has kind of moved where they call all kinds of things Christianity. People who say that they have some kind of denominational association but don't ever attend church and really barely know Jesus. And I got caught on this TikTok stream of this guy who hands out money if you can quote a Bible verse. And almost never can anyone quote a Bible verse. Just walking around Walmart, grocery stores, that kind of thing. And he's just saying, I'll give you $50 if you can quote one Bible verse. And I think, I mean, there's a scripture in the Bible that has two words in it. Two words. Jesus wept. Like, that's one scripture. $50 for you, buddy. Let me help you out. But, I mean, not that I think that that's appropriate, but I'm just saying it's that easy. But they can't quote one Bible verse, right? And so, yet if you asked them their religion, they'd probably say Christianity. Like, there's a chance that they would say that. And so, what is the truth? What is the real meaning of this? When did it lose the value? You know why they started calling them Christians? Because they were little anointed ones. Because they were walking around doing what Jesus did. That's how the term Christian even came about. It says that they started calling them Christian because they were like little anointed ones, little Jesuses, walking around doing what he did. It didn't just mean that you sometimes went to a church that believes in salvation. No. So we want to be like the anointed one. We want the glory realm. We want the miraculous. We want creative miracles. Amen? And to get there, we have to remember who he is. Father reminded me that the glory of God is directly connected to love. It's directly connected to love. He is love. And therefore, his presence is an atmosphere of love. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So let's read Ephesians 3. We're going to start in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love thinking about that. I'm not going to go there because I will end up way somewhere other than where I'm heading. But just think about that when you have time, not here. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. His mighty power, dunamis power, through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of God, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness. You are called to be full of God. That is what will cause the miraculous realm to come into this place. You being full of God. You being in the fullness of who he is. I was going to read you a piece out of Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous by Brother Copeland, but I'm going to, for sake of time, I'm just going to summarize it for you. He's basically saying that when we walk in the fullness of who we are, the fullness of our call, the fullness of the gifts, the fullness of each one of us working together in what God has called us to do. Because, real quick, everyone in here is called to operate in the gifts. Everyone in here is called to operate in a gift. That doesn't mean every person is called up here to minister, but every person is called to operate in the gifts. Every person in this room is called to be full. Every person in this room is called to be filled with all the fullness of God. It's not just a fivefold minister. Every person is called to that place. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It is the direct connection to you that moves his glory into this realm. It's him working in you that causes the glory to move here. Your ability to receive his love has a part to play in the fullness for this time. Your ability to receive his love. Your ability to receive his love. He is always forthcoming. He is always forthcoming with his love. He is always forthcoming. He is love. He is always forthcoming with his love. It's you and your ability to receive his love. He is always speaking, but are you tuned in? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I was shown that there are some stuff in the way. That's what he said to me, stuff. Like the woman at the well, she had man-made barriers blocking her ability to receive the love life. She had man-made barriers, and I'm going to refer to this story several times. I'm not going to read it, but the woman who was at Jacob's well, and Jesus came and told her, and she said, "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, why are you talking to me?" And so that excuse didn't work, and he kept talking to her. So then he said to her, "Go get your husband," and she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "You spoke truly. You have five husbands and now you don't have a husband. You just got a man living with you." And then eventually they got to the place where it says, "You need to worship God in spirit and truth." There's your, go read it for yourself, John chapter 4. But short version. She was limited because of her barriers to receive that living water. To receive that living life. To receive the God kind of life. That's what he was saying. That living water, that God kind of life, that life where you live at the same place that I'm living. That Christian life, the true Christian life of living like me on this earth is available to you. But she had barriers that were blocking. He said, "If you only knew who I was." That's what eternal life is. You know I had to go here. That's what it is. It's to know and experience Jesus and the Father. To know and experience him. Not just go to heaven someday. To know and experience who he is. Amen? So I want to walk you through a few things that I believe are going to get us all to a greater level of fullness. Because this is a place where we should show up full. So the first thing is the Father wants to reveal something to you. So reveal is number one. You know I like to use the same letter for all 4 points. So reveal. The first thing he wants to reveal to you is our heart. He wants to reveal to you what in you is not like him. Now this isn't in a matter of condemnation. This isn't a matter of guilt. This isn't a matter of making you feel bad. But he says in Psalms 139, 23 and 24, this is probably one of my favorites. He said, "God, I invite your searching gaze." This is David talking to God. "God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on. You see, when you have those things stuffed down on the inside of you, that stuff that's in there, that's blocking your room for capacity, it's a pathway of pain. It's something not that he wants you to have that you need to let go of. Amen. I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways. The path that brings me back to you. The path that brings me back to your love. The path that brings me to who you are and who you say I am. Amen? Because that's what he wants you to see in that heart. That's who he wants in there. He wants you to be full of him, not blocked up with other stuff in the way. How many of you know that heaven smells like coffee? Glory to God. We were at the event over there in Horseshoe Bay, and I walked by Macon, and I said, oh, I think this is what heaven smells like. Coffee makes my heart happy. Amen. So it's like when you have, has anyone ever had a coffee cup? And maybe the dishwasher didn't do a great job and there's just a little soap residue. And then you pour the coffee into the cup. And then the entire cup of coffee tastes like a little soap residue. Right? It's like that. There's something that's in there. But when you're viewing the love of God, you're seeing it with that little taint that you've left in there that hasn't been cleared out. It's just a little, maybe just a little thing. I'm not telling you that you're holding on to a building block or supply. Maybe you are, but it could just be a little thing that if we can clear that out, it gains our capacity. It gains our ability to receive. And most of the time it's man-made. Someone did something, or you perceived even someone did something, or you perceived an emotion, and that caused you to think that God loves you that way. We got to clear those things out. One sentence coming to you and you perceiving it incorrectly can change everything. So you have to ask God about those things. Reveal those things to me. Show me those things. What are those things that I can clear out to receive your love better? And know that it's not that you're a bad person. No. That's what shame tells you. You're not a bad person. Don't take that. We've been delivered from that. Amen? There's not one in here who isn't worthy to receive the fullness of God's love. There's not one person. That's why we need to identify what those thoughts are, what those things are, what those stuff is. Because it's not that you are unqualified. It's there's something that got lodged that needs to be removed. It's not you. You are fully available, and you are fully capable, and you are fully worthy, and you are fully eligible to receive the love of God in its complete fullness. You are fully called to receive the fullness of God. Don't ever let the enemy tell you something else, because he's a punk and he's a liar. So, and we can notice these things by our response. Are deferring, are I don't want to have that conversation, are shutting down. Normally they come in two ways. Either hard as a rock or touchy as all can be. The Lord told me there are two kinds of people. There's the kind that build walls and they just go, that's it. You're off. We ain't having this anymore. Or there's the touchy people, I can't imitate them because the ones who have the raw place, right? There's the ones that have the hard place that are calloused and need softened, or there's the ones that have the raw place that they're touchy and their wounds and they're open. And either one of those places are still the same thing. Lord, show me what that is so I can clear it out. Show me what it is so I can get rid of the soap residue. I want my coffee to taste sweet. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for revealing those places to us right now. I say that to you right now. Father, not that we meditate or harbor on those thoughts or those things, but, Father, right now there is an anointing to clean things out. We received it during the worship, and we receive it now, Father. They're cleaned out, removed far from us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So true worship requires that pure and honest heart. Come to him. Ask him. What is it that, why did this emotion come? Why did this come? That's part of being raw and honest with God. Not, oh, can you believe they did this to me? No, why did I react that way? Why did that feel that way to me? Why did I respond that way? Because you can't do anything about them. You can only do about you. You find you in him. Amen. This is not how I expected this to go, but glory to God. You find you in him. You are in charge of you. So then the next part, our number two, respond. And we're going to hit these in two places because I just saw that we need to do that. So we're going to hit one and two twice, okay? Respond. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do something about it? Or are you going to be okay with your wall and move on about your life with that wall being up? I'll be honest with you. I realize it can happen. Guilty party. I know it. So are we going to wash the cup out and pour a new cup of coffee, or are we going to drink it bitter? There's definitely been days where I was like, I only have this much cream left. I'm drinking it bitter. But but in the kingdom of God, there is abundance of grace. You don't have to drink it bitter. You don't have to experience that place again bitter. You don't have to experience that place again the same. You don't have to feel that emotion every time that comes up. Acknowledge it. What can I do? And have a plan. Amen? And let me tell you something. Sometimes when you have those things where you fix them, that very same day, it'll happen. That's when you remember. Oh no, I washed that cup out. That cup is clean. I refuse that lie of bitterness in the name of Jesus. Don't hold on to it. Don't wrap it up tight. You know, when a tree falls, there's still leaves on it. Leaves. There are still leaves on the tree when it falls. They still look alive. They still look like there could be growth there. But the truth is dead. There ain't no life source. It's dead. So maybe that day it looks alive. Maybe day two it looks alive. But can I tell you, as you get down the way, that thing's going to be dead. So all you have to remember is, nope, clean that cup out. That thing's been cut off. It's cut down. It's no more. It has no place. It has no right. Amen. Amen? Amen. So we've cleared that things out. We've cleared in out our inside. We've cleared out what it is that he wants to take care of in us. And we have to make sure, I need to say this one more time. I heard Pastor Nancy say this, and I know it's so true, that we don't hold on to those things. When you come to receive, don't come holding on to it. Let it go. Let it go. You have to release those things out. Pastor Nancy was showing that, and I could just see that. No, this is just the way I am. No, this is just how I am. No, this is just how I am. No, I just have an issue with this. It's just how I am. Well, do you want to drink bitter coffee or not? We gotta be willing to say, no, No, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Amen? All right, we're going to go back to point one, to reveal. So he wants to reveal those things to us because he wants to create capacity for us to receive, right? But the next thing he wants to show us is he wants to reveal to us his heart. And so we have to take care of revealing our heart so we can receive his heart. Because if we aren't really to put down what is ours, we're incapable of receiving what's his. This is when it gets exciting. I'm done with all the poking and jabbing, I promise. I think. So what is he doing in the service? Right? Revealing his heart. What is he doing? Where's he going? Sometimes we want to decide what he's doing. Sometimes we want to decide where he's going. But we need to get into his flow. We need to get into his place, into what he's doing, where he's going, where are they moving with him, right? In Matthew 11, 29-ish, in the message, I say 29 because it says 28 to 30, and this is in the middle, and I only grabbed one piece, so 29-ish. It says that you move into the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. I'm an order person, okay? I like plans. My kids, Kendall went to Michigan with my mom. And she said, I said, hey, baby, how's it going? What are you doing today? She goes, I don't know, and it's so hard to live without a plan. Well, because when I wake up, this is what we're doing. This is where we're going. Even if it's staying home, at least I know, hey, we're staying home today. We're not going anywhere. This is the plan to stay home, right? She was like, we just don't know what we're doing. And so my children get a little uncomfortable with no plan. And sometimes we can get that too much where we forget to follow the flow of his unforced rhythms. We have to move into his easy way of doing it. Some translations in that part say, that his yoke is light and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We live light and freely in him. We move with ease in him. Amen. And so when we get in that place, we follow the leading of his compassion and his kindness. What is he doing? Who is he touching? Where is he going? What is the leader doing? Because what the leader is doing, that's who I'm following. What the leader is doing, that's who I'm following. Can I tell you that the flow is greater if you get behind the leader? The flow is greater for everyone if you get behind the leader. Think of it like little streams. Each of us have each individual streams, right? And so if my stream is going this way, and then Gabriel gets in and his stream gets with me, it gets bigger. And if Art gets in, it gets bigger. And if Irie gets in, it gets bigger. But if one of them decide to go the opposite direction, the flow isn't getting bigger. They're taking away from the flow. So we move in the flow of what the leader is doing for it all to come together and move in one direction. And as we get in that place, we begin to follow. And it causes a response out of us, right? So he reveals his heart of what we're doing, and then we respond to what it is that he's doing. And so we have to decide if we're going to participate and what it is that he's doing, or are we going to create our own agenda? And this is a little hard, but it's what the Holy Ghost said to me while I was writing this down, is, are you submitted to your leader or are you out of order? God called you to a pastor. He called you to someone who's going to lead you and to guide you into his plan for this house, but for you. So you have to know and go where it is that he's calling you to go. Your pastor should be the final verdict. Not like they control everything and we tell you what dish soap to use, right? That's apparently that was a thing That was before my time, but apparently that was a thing. We aren't going to tell you what dish soap to use, though I would highly recommend Dawn Power Wash because the spray thing, it's really good. But that's up to you. If you prefer to use Ajax squirt bottle, you go right ahead. gotta lighten it up in here a little bit. I feel like it's heavy. Pastor will be back on Wednesday. But it's the truth. You see, the pastor is necessary for every fivefold minister. They're the one who's responsible for everyone. Has anyone else recognized that Brother Copeland calls Pastor George his pastor? Because everyone needs a pastor. Everyone needs a pastor. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, responding to the Spirit is done in faith. You can only receive as much as your response. So you can only get out of a service how much you're willing to respond to what's happening. If you walk into a Holy Ghost service and you're like, oh, that's cool, but you aren't willing to be a participant, you just want to be a spectator, that's what you're getting out. You're going to walk away the same way you walked in, because how much you respond determines how much you receive. And that's how we're able to move into the deeper, fuller, greater places, is by responding to what it is that the Holy Spirit is doing. So once we have responded, then we receive. We receive what it is that he's doing. We receive the move of where he's going. We receive what he's putting out in the service. We receive, if it's a ha-ha service, we receive the joy of the Lord. If it is a healing service, then you receive healing in your body. If it is a lay hands on every person for impartation, then you receive a new impartation. But if you refuse to respond, you don't receive. Now, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, there are times when it can happen. But responding is what calls for receiving. Because you see, listen to how they go. It's like a chess game. God reveals, you respond, then you're receiving, but he's the one doing. It's like a back and forth. You see, when you experience his presence, it's because you're present. You have to be present to receive, and you're present by responding. Amen? So, what are you receiving? You're receiving the finality of what he's done. What he's done in you individually, and what he's done corporately as a body. Don't go back to that place. Remember, the tree's dead. The cup's clean. We're moving on. And you receive the infilling, the fullness of what it is that he's doing. The presence of God and the depth we are going is getting greater every time we come together. So we have to be responding to him. He let him reveal to us at home, and then we need to respond to him at home. We need to receive at home. We need to be filling at home. We need to be growing at home. Church isn't a place you come to get filled. It's a place you come already filled. You show up full. Amen? Pastor talked to us about being full 2 Wednesdays ago, and she talked to us about worship this last Wednesday. Both participate in fullness. Both participate. That's why there was such a heavy emphasis on worship, because it creates fullness on the inside of you. Worship causes you to fully submit yourself to him. Speaking in tongues is necessary and important. But when you worship, it shuts down your mind. You use your mind to worship. Your heart. But you're saying English words, so they have to flow through your mind. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, I don't know if anyone else has ever experienced this. Actually, I do know other people have experienced this, but sometimes your mind can have a whole conversation while your mouth is praying in the Holy Ghost. But when you worship, all has to engage. There has to be a full. That's why when we start on Tuesday, we worship. We get into a place where we're fully submitted to Him. So when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we are fully engaged. We're fully engaged for what it is that He has for us to do. Amen? So, Jacob's well, I want to say this to you. That's where the woman at the well was, Jacob's well, right? It says that it came two ways, that it was a actual well where water came from within, but it also received percolated, yeah, that's a fun word, water as well, filling it from the outside in. So it came from within, and it came upon. That's how we receive from the Holy Spirit. It comes from within, and it comes upon. And when it comes from within, and it comes upon, that's when you're in the service, flooded, and you can release. He reveals to you, you respond, you receive from Him, and you go release. And you're able to do that because you're receiving from the inside, filling up all week long. You come and get a dose on the outside, and then you go out and release in the streets. You go out and release to the people that you come in contact with. That the movement is so full on you that you're able to leak off over onto others. That when you go to the park and see your people, you're able to minister them because you're full. That when you minister at the orthodontic office, as you go and you lay hands on people, that anointing just floods out from you. The anointing doesn't have to be just you stopping everything and saying, "In the name of Jesus." Sometimes it's a matter of just, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And just the point of knowing the release into them from within you. I know I'm flooded, so this will minister to you. I know Christ is in me, the hope of glory. So when I lay hands on you, that there is a release of the glory of God. Every person here is called for that. Every person here is called for that. Every person is called for an overflow that ministers to those that they come in contact with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Smith Wigglesworth said, only one thing will meet the needs of the people. That is for you to be immersed in the life of God. For you to be immersed. Being alive in Him, that God's sons and daughters are living wells of salvation. We are the vessels that bring water to others. It says after that, we would know the love of Christ, where we receive the love of God, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God, that then to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. What is that power working in us? It is the fullness of God in full operation. It is eyes seeing, ears hearing. It is those who are lame being able to walk. It is those who weren't able to receive a revelation being able to receive. It's you stopping the demonic from operating in someone's mind so they're set free. It's you telling depression to shut its mouth and get out of your child. It is you doing something. The power working in you because you choose to be full. Because you choose it. I can't make you full. I can stand up here and preach at you all day long, but if you aren't willing to do something, if you aren't willing to connect to the ministry, if you aren't willing to be a part of what it is that God's doing, I can't make His power manifest in your life. I can pray for you. We can operate in the gifts and it can happen. But the fullness of His power is when you choose to participate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So real Christianity is really being like the Anointed One. We want the glory realm. We want the miraculous realm. We want creative miracles. We must want to be full. We can't expect the church to have what we ourselves aren't hungry for. And we can't give out what we're not full of. So, Father, I thank you right now for a new infilling. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, right now for a new infilling. We lift up what it is that you're doing right now. Father, I believe that there is an atmosphere of filling happening right now. Father, our hearts are postured in worship towards you. We lift up our voices to you, Father. We worship you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for what it is that you're doing in this house, in this place. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you go find Jackie Baker, Fire of God, for me on there? We're just going to take a few more minutes. We're just going to take a few more minutes because... I sense something happening here. I sense a new fullness in this house. I sense a new fullness in this house. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to say goodbye to the internet audience, and then we're going to do one more thing here. So God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.